Thank you for listening to this message from the First United Methodist Church of Lyons in Lyons, Georgia. We hope you find it inspirational and meaningful. We invite you to join us in worship Sundays at 11 a.m. or 5 p.m. We are located at 126 East Wesley Avenue in Lyons, Georgia. You can learn more about the Lyons First United Methodist Church at www.lyonsfumc.org. That's lyonsfumc.org. And now, may you be blessed as you listen to today's message.
Have you ever had that experience where you remember something like it was yesterday, only to realize that it was like a long time ago? You ever have that thought? Like when it's time to pay the bill, you're just like, no, I paid that bill yesterday, but it was like last month. Well, I like to fancy myself a runner. I ran a half marathon. That's 13.1 miles. And I promise it's the 0.1 that'll really knock you down. I ran 13.1 miles. And I thought about that the other day when I put on my old running shoes and hit the road. I'm a half marathoner. I was going to go out for a run. And so I started hoofing it down the street, and about a quarter of 1 mile in, I had to stop. And I was mad. I said, I ran 13 miles. How come I can't even get down the street? And then it hit me. I ran that half marathon in 2012, which by now is not yesterday, but 6 years ago. I haven't put in that kind of time on the road in over 6 years. And I finally had to come to the place where I faced the reality that just because I ran 13 miles 6 years ago does not mean that I can do it today without putting in some time and preparation. You know, there are times when we don't even realize that we're banking on experiences from the past until we can't face the challenge that's up upon us today. There are times when we don't realize that we're banking on experiences from the past. We don't realize that until we can't meet the challenge of today. You know, Jesus and his disciples, or the disciples of Jesus, had a very similar ministry experience in the Gospel of Mark. And I want to share with you from the Scriptures what that experience was. I'm going to read two passages for you. One is from the Gospel of Mark chapter 6. When the disciples, they've really got it going on, and they've had a great success. And then over in chapter 9, when they struggle a little bit with a new challenge. So hear the word of the Lord. I'm going to start with chapter 6, and Blaine, when I finish that, you can put chapter 9 up on the screen. Hear the word of the Lord. Calling the 12 disciples to him, Jesus began to send them out two by two, and he gave them authority over impure spirits. And they went out and preached that the people should repent. And they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. And now on over a few chapters later to Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 14. And when they, this is a small group of disciples, when this small group of disciples came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. And as soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing about?" he asked. The man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him on the ground, and he foams at the mouth and gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." And so they brought him. And when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. And he fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus. Everything is possible for the one who believes. And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And the spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? And Jesus replied, this kind can only come out by prayer. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You know, it would seem like Jesus' disciples had reached the peak of their spiritual lives. Having been called by Jesus and spending time with Jesus, three of them had actually, right before the story, been to a peak. They went up with Jesus to the Mount of Transfiguration, where they had quite an amazing experience. They saw Jesus transformed into all of his glory, and the scriptures say his clothes dazzled like a white that is as pure as you'd never seen. And they saw the heroes of the faith, Moses and Elijah, having a little convo with Jesus, and they heard the voice of God. I'm just saying this is a spiritual experience. They must be at the height of their lives. What a time, what an experience to have something happen to you like that. And that really just adds to the complete and utter amazement that the disciples will fail at the next thing that they try to do. After all of that, being up with Jesus and following him, seeing him transfigured and having this holy and great mountaintop experience, they are completely surprised when they fail at their next task. So they come down the mountain. You heard the story. And they come across after that great, wonderful experience, right back into the real world, and lo and behold, there's a fight with church people. You have a crowd, and you have teachers of the law and the other disciples. They're all arguing over something, and Jesus says, what in the world are you arguing about? And so the story happens that a man brought his son to be healed from a demon. There was an impure spirit that needed to be cast out that would cause him seizures and things. He says, I brought him to you, Jesus, and I asked your disciples to cast him out. Now that should be no problem whatsoever. Because listen, if a resume means anything, these disciples have had some experience casting out demons, and they were good at it. Go back to Mark chapter 6. Jesus sent them out. You remember we read that. Jesus sent them out. You have authority to cast out impure spirits. And so they do. They cast out tons of them. They heal people. They share in this ministry of Jesus. So by the time this man comes, they should have it going on, right? It should be old hat. We got this. Except they don't. The man says, I brought them to your disciples, Jesus, to cast them out, but they could not do it. And you can just imagine what the disciples are like. They had done it before. I used to be able to do this. They should have been able to do it at this point, to cast out this one spirit after having spent so much time casting out many, many other spirits. But they just can't do it. And after Jesus himself steps in with a little frustration, he casts the demons out, and the disciples are just discouraged. They pull Jesus aside privately, and they say, Jesus, why couldn't we cast it out? Why couldn't we? And Jesus says, this kind can only be cast out by prayer. You know, that's something, I think. Because it turns out that the spiritual experiences that the disciples had back in Mark chapter 6 was not sufficient for the ministry that Jesus called them to in Mark chapter 9. The kind of experience and spiritual experience that they had, the level of their faith that they had in Mark chapter 6 was not enough to do what needed to be done in Mark chapter 9. In other words, it's kind of like their faith experiences of the past could not fuel their ministry today. Why could we not cast it out? Well, this requires prayer. This type requires continual growth with me. You know, I think about that. How often you and I might rely on the faith experiences of our past to get us along with Jesus today. You know, from time to time, we'll ask a Christian adult, say, tell us about what the Lord has done for you. And you know what happens most of the time? When you ask a Christian adult, tell us about your testimony or what the Lord has done for you, a lot of times they'll have trouble thinking of something to say. Not just because they don't know what to say. They might have to go back years to tell you about a time when they were transformed by the gospel, or about a time where they felt intimately close to the Lord. Some of them, and this happens quite frequently, will have to go all the way back to children's Sunday school to tell you about a time in which they felt close to the Lord or transformed by the gospel. You know what the question that rises at that point is, what in the world has happened since then? You'll get some folks who will tell you, I've always just believed, I guess, and you know, I go to church very regularly as if we're checking off a checklist instead of looking for transformation. But a lot of people will struggle to think of a recent time when they have been transformed or had an intimate experience with God. It's almost as if we can coast off of our early experiences. Yep, I had an experience with God. I'm good. Let me on my own live my life. Are you a Christian? Yeah, back in 1983, I had an experience with Jesus. I'm good. Pass by me, please. I'm here every week, no questions asked. It's as if we can coast like that. And the problem is that just like the disciples, the spiritual experiences of yesterday, while amazing, are not sufficient to fuel what God has for you today. The spiritual experiences of yesterday, while they are amazing and a part of your heritage, are not enough to fuel the call that God has on you today. You know, and the same thing can happen in congregations too, either in whole or in part. Think about this question. If somebody were to ask you, where have you seen God in your church? A coasting kind of congregation will name a golden era, some 5, 10, 15 years in the past. There will be very little discussion about how they've experienced Jesus today or how they are experiencing him now, but how they experienced Jesus 20 years ago or 10 years ago. When a church that's coasting talks about the future, do you know what they want to do? Recreate the past. I don't have a vision for what, but I remember that one time. And I want to recreate that instead of thinking about and discerning and praying about what does Jesus have today? What does Jesus call us to tomorrow? How can we lead people to meet with Jesus today? You know, memories are fantastic and great. But the problem is just like the disciples, the spiritual experiences of yesterday, they can form a heritage, but that's not sufficient for what God calls us to today, whether you're in your personal life or in a church life or in a community of faith. The mark of coasting in our lives or coasting in the church will usually come up with the idea of, I did once, don't think I can now. I did once, I don't need to now. Or the discouraging place of, you know, I experienced God before, why can't I? Why can't I? And you know, when the disciples asked Jesus this question, you know what Jesus said to them? This kind can only come out by prayer. This kind can only come out by prayer. It turns out that the spiritual life and the Christian life is not one that we can coast through in our own lives. We can't just coast through it. We actually have to continually engage Jesus Christ, open ourselves up on a regular basis to what God has in store for us, because we'll only get as far as we went if what we did is all we do. We'll only get as far as we went if all we did is all we do. Did that make sense? That was a lot of words. I'll listen to it later. If it didn't make sense, I'll write an article about it. We'll only get as far as we went if what we did is all we ever do. Relying on faith experiences in our own lives from the past is not enough to really bring us into the majesty of what God has for us today. Let me give you a couple examples. So what if, imagine this. Imagine you're about to take a road trip with a friend. I love a good road trip. I'll get on the road any old time and go on a trip. Let's say you're really generous. You got a couple bucks in your pocket and you say, well, dear friend, since you're driving, I'm going to pitch in for gas. All right? Let's say you do that. You won't do that if you're Larry and Debbie. You'll say, I'll pitch in for electricity because they're driving that Tesla, but you've got a gas car. What if you do that and they respond, hey, don't worry. Listen, man, I stopped by this amazing gas station 2 years ago. It was the best. I filled up then. I think we're good. Is that going to work? I ain't getting in that car. Because we're going to get out in the middle of Georgia somewhere. We're going to be stuck on a highway, and there are going to be some scary things going on. I ain't getting in that car. Let's say this. Let's say that my kids are hungry. Yeah, Jack, let's say you're hungry. You're always hungry, aren't you? You too, Dean. Let's say they're hungry. Dad, I want some dinner, Dad. And I respond, hey, guys, you remember that time? It's like 2013, you were little, and we went to this amazing restaurant. I took y'all down to like downtown Disney, and we ate at that thing. It was great. Y'all remember that? Wasn't it the best food ever? Yeah, Dad, yeah. Well, you ate then. I think we're good for a while. It doesn't work that way, does it? Just because you filled up 2 years ago doesn't mean you're full now. Just because you ate 5 years ago doesn't mean you're full now, does it? In the same way that just because we had a spiritual experience with God and we were transformed and felt intimately close does not mean that we're full now. And the good news is that Jesus Christ is here and present and calling for you to receive Him, to meet with Him, to work in your life by the Holy Spirit, to fill you up again. Somebody say amen. Amen. That was good. Why couldn't we? I can feel that in my own heart. Why couldn't we? I've been that disappointed. I've been that frustrated. I've felt that empty where there was something put in front of me and I mistook that as a chance for me to show off what I've got instead of a chance to draw close to Jesus and let Him do that through me. I felt that. Why couldn't we? You can only do it by prayer. Now, it feels kind of like a little bit of a pat on the wrist from Jesus. You weren't doing it right, son. But it's more than just a correction. It's also an opportunity. Because see, this is what I love about this story. Is not only does it show us something that went wrong, it shows us how Jesus makes it right. The disciples, they couldn't cast out that spirit. But you know what? Jesus showed up anyway. And Jesus had the power to cast out that spirit. Jesus had the power to lift that boy up from what appeared to death, even when the disciples couldn't make it happen. The people who had followed Him their whole life, His whole life and ministry and up to the mountain, when they couldn't, Jesus still showed up. Jesus still has the power to lift us up. He still has the power to act. He still has the power to say, you know what? I'm not going to give up on you, even though you thought you could manage it without me. I'm going to invite you back through prayer. I'm going to invite you back through prayer. That's the way this thing works. Jesus regularly shows up and invites us daily to meet with Him. And that's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take. Not some magic bullet or the right words or whatever. It's going to take you and me opening our hearts to Jesus so that we can continue to be full of the Spirit. Sometimes we bank on the spiritual experiences of yesterday. But maybe you've felt it in your own life, and we definitely see it here in the disciples. The foundation and experiences that we had should compel us for more today. Not to be all we ever have. The spiritual foundation of Mark chapter 6 was not enough for Mark chapter 9, and the experience that you and I have been hanging our hat on from whenever we first experienced Jesus is an amazing thing, but it should be a call to drink it in, a call to meet with Jesus today, a call to experience in Him regularly, and Jesus says we can do that through prayer. We can do that through prayer. And so I wonder where you are in your own life. I wonder if you've been hanging your hat on that thing that happened yesterday or a week ago or 5 years ago or whenever. Maybe you haven't felt like it wasn't enough, but maybe somewhere in the back of your mind you know it, that there's more, that Jesus will meet you and fill you up. And when he does, and when you allow him to, you will be equipped with the spiritual grace and the faith to meet the challenges of your life today and the ministry that Jesus brings across your path. May it be so for you and me that we meet with Christ.